Before we get to this really funny Jason Garrett audio, we should probably update everybody on the Antonio Brown situation. It all started with Michael Silver doing 20 tweets about Antonio Brown. And the crux of it is that, you know, aside from all his divadom, the thing that's really taking it to the highest level is that there are new regulations on helmets. And I tweeted our buddy Pat Doney about this, or texted Pat Doney about this, because he did a big story on it. Witten's got to change his helmet. Did you guys know that?
No.
Yeah, because he was one of the ones who was allowed to did he have the temporary exception, or was that during the year he didn't play?
I know that there was some talk of him, or somebody was using an older – there certain guys had an exception.
Yeah, I think those are no more.
Yeah, like, and those are gone.
Right.
All those guys have to – and that's what his issue was.
Yep, and so Antonio Brown is, you know, aside from having his feet issues, which his feet are basically peeling off. It looked like he walked on the surface of the sun.
He got into a cryotherapy changer with wet feet.
And now he's paying the price. And then there's all kinds of just issues already with him and the Raiders. And now he apparently was on a two-hour conference call with the league and refusing to wear the mandated helmet that everyone in the league has to wear.
And they met with an arbitrator, and the arbitrator couldn't make a decision on this yet, and they'll get back next week. And that's Mike Silver had the initial report, and along in that report said that Antonio Brown, when he was there for – he was only been there for a couple light practices – that he was in meetings looking at tablets, going through his bank accounts, and liking pictures on Instagram. But also, Schefter followed up the big story from Mike Silver saying that Antonio Brown is threatening to end his NFL career if they don't get this helmet thing figured out.
Great for the Raiders. Do they get the picks back? What all did they give up for him?
You know what? It was a first, I know.
God, that would suck.
I mean, there was a lot. There was a lot in that trade, and they signed him, if you remember, to that deal. So,
God, what does the league do there?
I don't think you can do anything, right? It's over, right?
Can they award them a compensatory pick in the first round?
I don't think you can do that.
God, what a mess.
I don't think you can do that. The trade was the Steelers got a third and a fifth.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I thought it was a first. I'm sorry. A third and a fifth is what the Steelers got. And then the new contract for Antonio Brown was 3 years at $50 million, so a max value of 54. And that would be $30 million guaranteed.
God, and he's 30, isn't he?
Oh, man.
All that for a 30-year-old wide receiver that may never play for you. All right, so Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. We're at Fat Daddy's out here in Mansfield. Let's rewind back to yesterday. We were on the air. We went to the Jason Garrett presser. And KT, at the end of this presser, some real weird stuff happened.
We've really got to focus in and review this. So there's a guy who is from a Central Texas sports radio station named David Smoke. You guys know David Smoke very well.
Smokey.
So he apparently makes his own chili each year at camp. Well, he's heating
up his chili. You like Andy Reid?
And it starts to get a little smoky, and you see a little fire kind of over towards the area where he's heating this up, and it derails Garrett. Here's Garrett when there's a fire happening during the middle of his press conference.
We have a plan for the guys who have been out. They're ahead of schedule. They've worked very hard. They've really – sorry, we had a fire back there. You okay? So each of those guys has worked very hard. They're on schedule to get back and start to play football for us. And so excited to see some young guys play, and then excited to get some veteran guys back in it. Well, I'm serious. It was a fire back there, guys.
It's okay. His name is Smokey.
His name is Smokey.
Oh, I know.
Man.
What a crazy listen, especially if you can't see the visual of what's happening.
Yeah, so I had a different vantage point than you guys. At this point, you guys were in the tent, and I was kind of closer to Coach Garrett, and I could see kind of around what was happening. So Smokey's making his chili that he makes every year, and he was just making it right out in front of his tent on the tennis courts, like, I don't know, 20, maybe 15 yards away from Garrett in the podium, and it's just kind of been this thing. Smokey always makes his chili for everybody.
So let me ask right quick, Ben, because our tents are flush up against the chain link fence of the tennis court, was he making it on the other side, like inside the tennis court?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's making it in the tennis court, but he's making it directly adjacent to his tent, which is basically three or four tents down from our tent. And he must have had like one of those camper setups, you know, where they got the propane tanks and the burners, and he's got it all sitting out on a table in a big pot.
Well, something caught on fire, and Smokey just kicked it or did something to knock the burner off the table to get it from stop it from catching everything on fire. So then the burner, just this giant piece of metal, just flipped over and landed in the tennis court. And it made a huge crashing sound, and the media is staring at Garrett. So nobody's seeing this going on behind them, except Garrett's the only one facing that. Garrett and me are the only ones facing that direction, and we see it all. And so it's like, Garrett, when would Jason Garrett expect to see a media member making a giant cauldron of chili and catching everything on fire? I mean, it's unbelievably abnormal.
All those tents are interconnected.
Sorry, we had a fire back there.
How quickly that whole thing would go up in flames if that propane tank
hit
the wrong thing. I'm serious. There was a fire back there, guys.
And let's go, and Shibby, play the cut of that Garrett laugh right there, cut four. Okay, and that's coming after the weirdness of he was supposed to go on at 1 p.m., well, 3 p.m. Central Time, and he was late because at 3 p.m. Central Time, right when our show started, the Robert Quinn suspension news came down. And I noticed when Garrett was walking to the podium, he was with Cowboys PR Director Rich Dalrymple. I'm sure Rich is probably filling him in on the specific details of the suspension. Or maybe he was just, you know, warning. But Garrett was 10 to 15 minutes late.
At least that
happens sometimes when breaking news comes down on the fly. You don't want to just put your coach up there and not know what's going on. Well, so then the fire happens. Then Garrett had been kind of derailed throughout the entire press conference. Listen to this weird answer in cut five.
You said many. Is a guy like Sean and Zach, Amari, veterans, are they guys that would stay here or would make the trip?
We'll give you that that travel itinerary in the manifesto. We'll get that all squared away. I think it's a manifest.
Manifesto, we're going to need to know about that.
Yeah, the fire's got me off balance here a little bit.
Thanks, guys.
That's a good ender.
What?
Oh, okay, there's a lot there. There's a lot there. But when he calls it a manifesto and Brad Sham goes, hey, if it's a manifesto, we're going to need to know about it so we can get the heck out of here.
I like the idea of a manifesto about who is or isn't going to play. You know, the other thing that I couldn't help but think about is it's Brad Sham that asked him that. And then like 40 minutes later, Brad goes on our airwaves and just raves about Garrett's ability to compartmentalize craziness and focus on the job at hand.
Meanwhile, it was a train wreck during that press conference.
It would be funny to see if they would allow us to just try to distract him in any way we could. Just have a bunch of different things happen back there.
Yeah.
Like set up an ATM, have somebody get robbed at it. guys, sorry, there was a guy getting robbed at an ATM back there. Sure, coach. I don't trust me, guys. It just happened. And then get it out of the way before the media turns around.
None of the media will even look over there. They're just like, wait, but who's going to play on Saturday?
Yeah, that's good, coach. But who's the backup defensive end? Quinn suspended. I need to find that out. It's so crazy. Play that final laugh. And then I like the idea of having a drop. That's a good ender, too. You can do a lot with that down the road.
That was so funny. That was really funny and it was out of characteristic when Broadus started tickling Garrett. This is the audio from that. Broadus was like, "Come on, man!" He went up there, started ticking him, and this is tickling him. This is what he did.
Thanks, guys.
I like that Broadus isn't making any sound as he's doing that too. He's just silently tickling him in that bucket hat.
That's a good ender.
And then Broadus walks away without making any noise at all or acknowledging that he did it.
Pretty amazing. Guys, did y'all see this quick story from the collegiate baseball world?
No.
Did y'all see this?
Is that a magazine? What is
that? No, it's not a magazine. It doesn't sound like a magazine.
Are you
at
collegiatebaseballworld.com?
What are you doing there? Oh, I'm just reading my new edition of Collegiate Baseball World. They got a pretty good story in here.
So 19-year-old John Zagel is he's a play-by-play guy for a collegiate baseball team. And then prior to the seventh inning, he was doing the game, you know, just doing play-by-play. And he's doing it on Facebook, too. So it's a little shoddy setup there as he's doing a game on Facebook Live. And then he tells listeners he's going to be leaving the booth to go warm up in the bullpen. And then he ends up going into the game, and he pitched the ninth inning for the team.
Okay, hold on. Before we hear this audio, can you tell me what game this is?
I don't. Do we have
on Facebook?
Oh, I thought there was audio.
No, I don't think
so. Oh, my bad.
If there is, I don't know about it.
I have audio right here.
Oh, you've got it pulled. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Gavin Spittle sent it to us.
Awesome. Oh, great, 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 great.
So what game is this? Do we know, Shippy?
Let me see here.
It's Crestwood versus Bloomington.
So I like Crestwood's team this year.
It sounds like Saved by the Bell teams. Oh, I just saw the email. He did send it.
I think those are actually ski resorts that are playing one another.
Shout out to Barrett Sports Media and also Gavin Spittle for getting us this audio.
JT Barrett.
All right, everybody. There has been some news. I've been summoned to the bullpen to come in and possibly pitch later in this game to relieve for Ethan Ostad. So I will apologize in advance for not updating the graphics, but we'll leave the crowd mic on for you to hear what's going on the field. Right now, a 5-2 game in the top of the seventh. Again, it's John Zaglul signing off for now as I have been summoned to the bullpen by manager Isaac Valdez. Hopefully, I can do well in the game. We'll see you soon.
Gosh.
All right, that's amazing on a lot of different levels.
I'm a catcher.
Including him just laying out the whole beating of doing a Facebook broadcast for Bloomington versus Crestwood, as he's telling you that he's also doing the graphics as the game goes on, so you'll no longer be receiving the graphics. You'll be looking at a still image of intercollegiate baseball happening on your Facebook page.
So it says the team ERA was 6.83 on the season. Zagul was a pitcher in high school.
Who?
So the play-by-play guy.
What's his name?
Don't worry about it. Okay, and he went and asked the manager. He approached him about going to the mound. The only requirement that you needed was having college playing ability, so just being in college.
Okay.
Basically, the only requirement, he gave up one run in his inning. So
All right.
Good job. Then he came and did the post-game show.
Wait, did he get any uniform?
I think he took some calls on his performance.
I want to get to the bottom of Ben's question. That's a fascinating question.
This is a one-man operation, very much like Steve Lickner's news reports.
Yeah.
Guys, I've been summoned to the front lines of the story I'm covering. I'm going to arm myself now and get up there. I'll get back to you later with more coverage.
Thank you, Ben Rogers, for recommending the coverage.
You're welcome.
He's wearing tearaway pants, and he's got his baseball uniform on. Let's go.
He's so calm about doing it. This is not abnormal at all, guys. I'm being summoned into the game. I'll go get loose in the bullpen, and then I'll be on the field participating in this competition.
God, that is awesome.
And also in the world of sports, last night, an amazing feat on television is Will Ferrell and his character Ron Burgundy appeared on all six late-night TV shows, Kimmel, Colbert, Fallon, Conan at the same time, and then Seth Meyers and James Corden at the same time.
All right, I've never heard of this. I've never heard of anybody doing this. Maybe it's happened before, and I just didn't know. But this is essentially called roadblocking. Like in other media forms, it's like the same idea. Advertisers do this sometimes by buying commercials at the exact same time on every channel. Like they decide, hey, I want to reach late night viewers, so they may go do the exact same thing with their advertisers. I want to be the first in the commercial break on all eight of these shows or networks or whatever, and it's called roadblocking. I've never heard of anybody having the, I guess, foresight into doing this. It's genius by Will Ferrell to just create this market, you know, universe-wide marketing campaign for his podcast.
And it's a way to kind of save late-night TV as well when you look at it. And he was on, he's just promoting the Ron Burgundy podcast.
So it's not even Will Ferrell, right? It's Ron Burgundy.
It's Ron Burgundy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Ron Burgundy. And he's wearing the same thing in all of them. Now, again, some of these shows are in New York, some of these are in L.A., so they were obviously pre-taped.
Oh, wow.
But because you have to think about where they shoot these shows from.
Yeah.
But he did a stand-up bit on one of them. He did a stand-up bit on Kimmel and Fallon. He just did a basic interview with Colbert. He was doing all kinds of stuff. But it reminds us of the Ron Burgundy podcast, in which we were making fun of this about 5 months ago. I listened to some of this from season one. It's not great, the podcast, but there was one in which they were trying to come up with the Ron Burgundy podcast theme song. And we've been laughing about this for months. This is Cut 20, Shippy, the song about taking back the night.
Ron Burgundy, Ron Burgundy, talking and saying things. Ron Burgundy, Ron Burgundy, he's not playing games. Making sure you get the facts and listen to some guests. He will fight to the end. We know he's the best. Take back the night, take back the night.
So great.
Awesome. I can listen to that song all day long.
I heard there was a clip in G-Bag of the Day. We don't have to play it, though. But he was kind of doing... He was being a bad stand-up guy is what he was doing. Mm-hmm. He was doing a lot of, am I right?
Guys, that felt really good.
But he was talking about mocking baseball players. But, I didn't think it was awesome.
Right.
But just much like that podcast, I don't think it's awesome. And I didn't listen to much of it after that. But kind of cool that happened. You never see that in the world.